Well, this morning I'm taking our message from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." I wonder how many sermons we've heard on chapters 5 to 7 in Matthew that we call the Sermon on the Mount. And I wonder how they've changed us over the years. Have they changed us? Our theme in preaching through Matthew is the kingdom of God, and the overarching theme in all nine Beatitudes is justice in God's kingdom. Back in chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible clearly states Jesus' teachings focused on the good news of the kingdom. Remember, justice is what God's holiness looks like in public. I want to begin with a confession. It's not easy to tell, but I believe God wants me to. When you've been on the Christian road for most of your life, read the Bible every day, heard it preached on Sundays, it's very easy to think you've heard it all. And dare I say it, know it all. But I got a wake-up call on Jennifer's second Sunday here on the 20th of October when she preached from Micah 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And just as there'd been injustice in Micah's day, with people taking land that didn't belong to them, so there had been in our country back in the 1830s and 40s. Jennifer gave the true story of the land grab that the Pākehā took from the Māori. Now, I'm of the generation who were taught in school how great the missionaries were, Samuel Marsden and the others, bringing the gospel to the Māori. But nothing about the white man grabbing land unjustly from the Māori. So in school and church, we'd been told half the story. Because some of the missionaries were good, honourable, and identified with the Māori. As for the Māori Wars, I don't remember being taught anything. And definitely silence on the land grabs. It seemed to me that the Māori were always wanting more, and I just didn't want to know about it, or even why. Justice was not on my radar at all. Unless it involved me, of course. On 20th of October, God spoke to me, and it was disturbing. I spoke to a friend about it, and she loaned me a book on the treaty written by an Anglican minister who'd done research on the subject. And I was even more disturbed. And we know that the missionaries who came out were under the Church Missionary Society, an arm of the Church of England. Some of them were the first to sign the treaty, and regrettably, the first to break it. Choosing to tell the Crown in England there was great land to be had out here. I felt I was sitting on a three-legged stool, and one leg had been chopped off. What I'd been taught and believed was not truth, and it rocked me to my core. When I returned that book, my friend loaned me another, Huia, Come Home. written by another Christian who'd done research. And again, I was left feeling very uncomfortable. The situation is summed up best in the saying, "When the missionaries arrived, the Maori had the land, and the missionaries had the Bible. They taught us how to pray with our eyes closed. When we opened them, they had the land, and we had the Bible." Long story short, I believe God was putting his finger on the area of justice I'd chosen to ignore. I'm a slow learner. I realised one can't even consider justice for another when holding racist attitudes, which were well hidden, I might add. What could I do? I can't fix the problem. But I could confess my sin of racism and pray for those who were working for justice. After all, if the boot had been on the other foot, would I want justice? You bet. I believe God wanted me to share this because it illustrates that we can hear what the Bible says many times, nod our heads in agreement, and carry on without taking a look inside our own hearts. The last 4 months have taken me on a painful journey, but I'm glad God kept his finger on the sore spot so I could recognise and acknowledge my sin. When I confessed my sin, God forgave me and is giving me a new attitude and love towards those who are different to me, but are his people too, and who have suffered injustice. Now let's return to the Beatitudes and be alert to what God is saying to us today. Each Beatitude builds on the other. No statement stands entirely on its own. The first three blessed statements are, "Blessed are those who have experienced injustice, the poor, the mourning, the meek." The next three blesseds are, "Blessed are those who fight for justice, the righteous, the merciful, the pure in heart." And the last three blesseds are those who do not become bitter and vengeful living in an unjust society. The peacemakers, the persecuted, the falsely accused. So I encourage us all to listen to what the Holy Spirit might be saying to each of us as we look at the Beatitudes in the light of justice. Remembering, justice is what God's holiness looks like in public. So let's look at these first three verses. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his followers and maybe would-be followers, not just the 12. When a rabbi was teaching, he always sat down. Hence we read, "Jesus sat down to teach." Now first we must understand that the Beatitudes come like a bolt out of the blue for any who think of religion as a sad and miserable affair. Maybe religion is, but the kingdom of God is quite different. Being part of the kingdom of God, we are the way God meant us to be. And so it's inevitably the blessed or happy life. That's what blessed means, made happy by God. It's as if Jesus is saying that life in the kingdom with him is a life of profound joy, a joy which no person and no circumstance can take away. And this blessedness is not reserved for the future. It's for now, It's the mark of those who've surrendered to the King and tasted his grace. Although we know there's also a future to rejoice in too. Let's look at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit are happy, not the bullies who push others around. The phrase poor in spirit has a long history in the Old Testament, particularly in the Psalms, and refers to those who have confidence only in God, ground down as they were by long-standing social and political distress. They'd learned to put their trust in God alone, and to their joy found that the kingdom was God's free gift to them. Today, the poor in spirit are the same. Those who've encountered unfortunate circumstances, from an economic point of view, and people who are spiritually and emotionally oppressed, disillusioned, and in need of God's help. Those who've experienced the harsh side of life, in which deprivation and hunger are their norm, and who have no resources to help them. The attitude of humility in the harsh realities of life makes a person open to receive the blessings of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God belongs to those who know they have no resources, material or spiritual, to help themselves before God. These are the poor to whom Jesus has come to announce good news, and to whom the kingdom belongs. This first beatitude undercuts the predominant worldview and those who follow a prosperity gospel belief that material blessings are a sign of God's approval in one's life, and that they automatically flow from one's spiritual blessings. Jesus teaches that his disciples will experience their most personal, complete fulfillment as they draw on the resources of the kingdom of heaven to guide their lives. So it's important we understand that it's impossible to live the Christian life and to follow the teaching of Jesus in our own strength. Secondly, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. Those who are bankrupt are those who mourn. The loss of anything or anyone that a person counts valuable will produce mourning, be it financial, loved ones, status in society, or even one's spiritual standing before God. The self-satisfied tend to rejoice in themselves and their accomplishments, whereas those who've reached the bottom of the barrel, whether it's spiritual, emotional, or financial, will mourn. For they will be comforted. The arrival of the kingdom in Jesus' ministry brings the first taste of God's comforting blessing. We mourn oppression and persecution, but we do not despair because we know the end of the story. If we mourn over personal sin and social evil, we mourn the things that God mourns. Mourners are happy, for they've seen the depth of the world's suffering and of their own sin, and it's broken their heart. When that happens, We're open to receive the comfort God longs to give us. How often do we mourn for our sin? We often call our sin mistakes, but God calls them sin. Until we begin to look at our sins the same way as God looks at them, we will not truly repent. As we mourn, we become instruments of the good news of the kingdom of heaven as we bring the comfort of God to others, the same comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted. And then the third beatitude, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meek are happy, deeply happy, in a way to which the big-headed can never aspire. The background to this verse is Psalm 37, verse 11. The meek shall possess the land. That's revolutionary stuff. It says that victory goes not to the wise or to the strong, but to someone who is so small before God, which is what meek means, that God can afford to exalt them without the danger of them getting proud. The domineering, the aggressive, the harsh, the bullies and the tyrants are often those who attempt to dominate the earth and establish their own little kingdoms. But Jesus says it's the gentle or meek who will inherit the earth. The opposite of the world's teaching that says, if you want to inherit the earth, get money, power, fame, be strong, be proud, put yourself forward. Jesus says the exact opposite. Be meek. Jesus exemplifies best what it means to be meek, gentle. He assumes this gentle posture as he preaches good news, proclaims freedom, and announces the arrival of the Lord's favour. Some people think that to be meek is to be weak, but that's not true. A truly meek or gentle person is spiritually strong in the Lord. How are you doing following Jesus' way to being blessed, to bringing comfort for those who've experienced injustice? Let's be silent for a moment and become aware of the Spirit's voice and what he's saying to each of us. If you're feeling uncomfortable about something that's been said, then maybe this is an area the Holy Spirit wants you to focus on. Let's be still, for the presence of the Lord is here.